B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall day, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Tom.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog.
I do what I want, when I want.
Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Tom.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Check us out on twitch.tv. You can watch us. Get the 98.5 Sports Hub app, 617-779-0987. I never realized there was a young lady singing on Midget with the Dog, along with the guy.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Huh. There's a young woman. It's a dual singing effort. It's a duo.
Oh, I thought he was just singing in a higher register.
Oh, well, if that's the case, he does a very feminine-sounding voice, because there are two voices, but I didn't know if it was... it sounds like a female. Give me a little midget with the dog again.
Let me hear.
Midget with a dog.
Right ear.
Midget with a dog.
There might be, yeah.
Yeah, right ear.
Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small.
It does sound like a woman. Yep. There you go. Nice ear, Fred.
Thank
Rick Rubin.
You.
Come on.
There you go. I'm just teasing John.
With
just giving John the business. Which ear is yours? Is busted the left?
Right.
Oh, yeah. So
right
you don't know what's happening. Yeah, it is your right ear. They recorded that in stereo. Good for them. All right. Well, last night the Celtics fall to the Miami Heat. It was a game Miami was better. Last night was a game that Miami was better, in my opinion. And that is what you got.
Now, mine too.
It's a 3-1 lead. Very, very, very difficult to get out of that. It was.
You know what? You know what's weird, Fred, is that game last night. Well, first of all, the first half is as awful of a basketball game that you can sit and watch.
The only thing you could say is it went fast.
Well, yeah,
a lot of fouls.
That's a good point about that. But. You know, the Heat didn't even play last night exceptionally well, except for Tyler Herro.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the rest of the team, they were okay. There was nothing special about anybody's play last night outside of the 37 points that Tyler Herro gave you last night.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, we'll get into it a lot, but, you know, yesterday was about self-inflicted wounds. It was about how I can't understand how a team that should realize how important last night's game was can come out that flat, and the turnovers are everything. I mean, they lost by 3 and had 19 turnovers last night.
Yeah, and in the fourth quarter, down the stretch there, they were giving it up pretty good.
Slop-a-roo.
Think about how many open shots they missed, too. They got pretty much not whatever shot they wanted, but they got a lot of quality shots against that zone. And missed almost all of them in the first half.
But you're gonna miss shots.
And no,
like,
but
the
I mean,
Heat, like, miss shots. Like it's the turnovers that just are infuriating, and a lot of them are coming from your best players. Like they're coming from, you know, in certain parts of the series, it was Kemba Walker doing a lot of the turnovers. Last night, Jason Tatum just couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
I mean, bad fouls and just getting sloppy. And that's been the story of this whole series, is that I think that the total number of points that the Heat have beaten this team by is 11. And they have almost doubled the amount of turnovers that they've given them.
But I mean, we do agree, out of the four games that have been played, Miami, this is the game that Miami was the better team.
First one, yes. Miami was better last night.
I mean, no, there's no question they were better last night. Whether or not they were not the better team in the other three, you know, that's...
They were not the better team in the other three.
I can agree that last night's the first one that it was just what are we doing?
Right. Yeah, last night it seemed like Miami was in control of that game. And then, you know, down the stretch, Boston had a little, you know, they it was tight, and then they just started turning the ball over, and there you go. I'll tell you, Gordon Hayward was kind of invisible at the end there. It was just,
he looks like a guy that's played one game in 5 weeks.
Yeah, he didn't look, he didn't look overly athletic.
Right. My expectations weren't super high for him, but having him in there, I think, helps. I mean, we've talked about that in the first game. And he did what he needed to do. Gordon wasn't anything special last night, but he also... wasn't a liability at times. And I keep coming back to the fact that this team couldn't help from shooting themselves in the foot. I don't know, like, they weren't this team throughout the regular season. I would like to take a look at, you know, what their average amount of turnovers was during this year. But I mean, this series, when you take a look at what the Heat did in the fourth quarter there, I don't know if they turned it over once, and the Celtics just couldn't help themselves. So, yeah, game two, it was 20 Celtics turnovers to 11 Heat turnovers. And last night, it was 19 Celtics turnovers to 8 Heat turnovers. I mean, that's just, you can't do that in a game this important. And to only lose by 3, how can you not take a look at that and just go, man, this was a winnable game? And as I was saying, there's only really one guy on the Heat that was playing, you know, significantly well, and that was obviously Tyler Hero. And when you play well, you play well. That guy's insane. But I mean, to lose by 3 and to have 11 more turnovers than those guys, they're going to be kicking themselves in the ass, you know, if they're sitting home after all of this. That was just inexcusable.
Yeah. It was also good defense by the Heat. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they were throwing the ball around, and you know, the Celtics gave it up, but the Heat were playing good defense. We'll see how Adebayo's left hand is. We'll see if they kept him in the game. They kept him on an inbounds pass. They just kept him on the other side of the floor. But they kept him in the game.
He said afterwards, take it for what it's worth, but he said afterwards he was fine.
Well, he didn't look fine considering he wasn't.
No. He was holding it the last 3 minutes.
Yeah,
yes.
The final shots of the game, too, that the Celtics took, he took himself out like he was not even trying for rebounds. He was just, he was like drifting outside the cylinder during those periods. So be interesting to see where he is. We saw Jimmy Butler when he did not shoot well, but we saw him when Kemba Walker was checking him, and that's a big issue.
Well, it wasn't just him. I mean, anybody that Kemba was on, they went after in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That he just... is not a liability on defense, but a target. Put it that way. And every single – and the Celtics realize this. You have to keep Kemba on the floor because he is an offensive threat. But single time they could switch a guy onto Walker, they did that. And then every time the Celtics doubled the guy that Kemba Walker was guarding, Miami was so good at moving the basketball, they got an open shot. You saw that Dragic 3 from the corner in the final couple of minutes. That was after the Celtics doubled the guy that Kemba was guarding.
And also, you saw that they tried to go small in the fourth and then immediately scrapped that idea. They went small and then they went, oh, whoops, we can't do that right now. So that happened as well. So you look at that game, 617-779-0985, and here we are. When is game 5?
Tomorrow night.
So you don't have to wait.
Now it's every other day.
The big drag.
Yeah, the big break, the 4-day break, was A, to let the Western Conference catch up, and B, and because they had to worry about the Western Conference Finals and Monday Night Football.
Right.
So,
yeah. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm in the car right now, so hopefully I don't get cut off. But, yeah, I was just listening, and pretty much I was thinking, like, obviously we're in the bubble, you know what I mean? Pandemic basketball, playing in the bubble. Tyler Herro scores 37 points last night. Doesn't help that the Celtics turned the ball over 19 times. But I was just thinking, like, you know, this kid's a 20-year-old rookie, right, playing in the bubble, you know, going for 37, not saying he's not a great player, because clearly he's shown that he can shoot better than probably every player on the Celtics, right? And obviously it's a crucial, you know, nowadays in the NBA it's crucial to hit threes, but I don't know if he would be hitting, if he would be scoring 37 points in a game four in, you know, in the Garden, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
that's a good point, yeah.
I think that, you know, obviously playing in the bubble, being 20 years old, without the pressure of, you know, a bunch of guys from Southie and Dorchester yelling in your face while you're trying to hit the three, you know what I mean? So I think that that's a huge, you know, obviously it's a huge advantage, you know what I mean? And we knew that going into this, that, like, no fans was going to be either, you know, no advantage at all, or obviously in this case, I think an advantage for someone like Tyler Herro. And, yeah, I just think obviously clear as day, the Celtics turning the ball over 19 times, Gordon Hayward not really being ready, and Kemba Walker just not really, you know, playing up to his potential. And really just, like you guys said it, the Celtics just making stupid plays. You lost by a total of 11 points so far in this series, like you said, and it's just like you guys are better than that. So that's really all I wanted to say. Thank you for having me on.
As it, I mean, yeah, without the noise, you get a rookie into a hostile environment, and it would be interesting to see how he played, but it wasn't just threes from Harrell last night. He was rebounding. He was
He's so good. This is
the series where he grew up. I mean, this is the series where, you know, Miami was like, wow, we really got something here. I mean, there are a lot of teams that passed on that guy. I saw a lot on social media, and I saw a couple interviews last time. Said, how come the Celtics really wanted this guy? They should have traded up to get him. They were, after Ja Morant with the second pick, take a look at the guys that were taken in front of Herro. There are about five or six or seven teams that would like to have their picks back. I mean,
By the way, Miami was one pick ahead of the Celtics, right?
Yes, like, that's correct.
Herro was, and the Celtics wanted Tyler Herro. They wanted him.
They could have traded up to get him, but honestly, I don't think anyone expected this. No one expected this.
No, he's
no
been,
one
he's
thought
been
he was going to be this good.
I do love what that guy's saying, though. I mean, you the one thing about the bubble that has been kind of interesting to see is that it's pure basketball. You're right. There's no effect from the outside, and there's no people getting rattled when they're at an away court. But, I mean, Tyler Herro just does seem like the kind of guy that a crowd would be able to get into his head. I mean, he's young. I mean, he's like 20 years old. He can't even buy a beer yet. And he's, you know, lighting up for 37 points. You're right. I wonder whether he would be able to be mentally strong enough to stand there at a, you know, hostile environment and be able to do the same. It's a good question. But you know what? The Celtics get the same advantage that, you know, Miami does. And right now, them's the breaks. And that's the way it works. And you just had a guy score 37 points on you who's 20 years old. But as good as he is, that shouldn't have happened.
Well, we'll see with that body type, if he becomes a guy who gets a lot of minutes, to see how he holds up. So
he averaged, like 25, 26. He scores about 14 points a game in 26 minutes a game.
Yes. And
Fred, he's coming back next season, like, with 20 pounds of muscle. Like, you've seen this story before. Guys who show a little bit of promise, and they're, like, fresh, or they're rookie year, and then all of a sudden somebody goes, all right, dude, now you got to hit the weight room.
Yeah, Pat Riley, I'm sure, will tell him this.
Yeah. You put on 30 pounds of muscle like Pastrnak, but we'll see. We'll see how he holds up through an entire season. I'm not writing him as the next great player yet, but we'll see. All right, Rich, when we come back, what will we talk about?
Yeah, let's get into that game and some of the post-game comments that the team had. An interesting, interesting environment after it was all done. Not the same as after game two. It's a little bit of a different vibe.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Oh, the nuts have officially been kicked.
Free throw is in the air. It's good. Celtics down 3. 1.1 to go. Tice, not smart. Going to try to make the touchdown pass. Long lead. Deflected. Jaylen Brown can't come up with it. The clock hits triple zeros. And the Miami Heat, coming from the 5 seed, are one game away from the Eastern Conference Championship.
Yep, and just like that, the Celtics are down 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals and in jeopardy of having Pat Riley get another one over Danny Ainge, who will, of course, be joining the show today at 9 a.m., by the way. After coming out with their hair on fire in Game 3, the Celtics seemed to sleepwalk through the first half, especially the guy that they needed the most.
Miami by 5.
Give Miami credit, man. Just hanging in there.
Tatum catches. Decent look, doesn't take it.
Whoa.
And he travels. And that may sum up the night for Jason Tatum. He had an open three. He didn't want to take it, wanted to drive to get closer. And it's called for another turnover.
Just take the shot. They're giving you that look.
Ugh. Well, if the entire Celtics team in the first half were awful sequels, the Jason Tatum story was the Blues Brothers 2000 of the players there. He just sucked. He was as bad as it gets. Scoreless, sloppy, and at times a liability, as you heard right there. That was even in the second half. He seemed absolutely lost last night. And, man, they really could have used them because the entire team came out flat and tired. But in the second half, finally, you had Jason Tatum waking the hell up.
11 on the shot clock. Tatum blows right by Crowder, switches to the right hand, lays it up and in, scoring on the foul. Oh. Jason Tatum, ladies and gentlemen, has arrived at the Game 4 party.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. You want your superstar to step in.
Yeah, just like that, Tatum rips off 28 points in the second half, going from completely missing in the first half to exploding in the second. But too bad there was a guy on the other side who didn't wait until halftime to go off.
Butler shovels for the trailer, scooping it up and in, of course, is Tyler Hero. 35 for Tyler Hero, and the Heat take the Celtics' best punches in the second half, and they're going to take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Why did it have to be that guy?
Yeah, dude who calls it a crazy move, too.
Dumbass outfits.
When he drove to the basket, went left, and then came up the other end right.
Yeah, he could do it was great to watch a guy burst into flames like that. Unfortunately, he wasn't on your team. He couldn't miss.
Have you seen a more effortless-looking 37 points than what you saw from him last night? It didn't even look like it was tough.
We kind of saw some of this coming. Remember in Game 1, he hit that big three from the top, and we're like, oh, boy, what a big shot that was. And sure enough, I mean, he's growing up right in front of us. Bubble or no bubble, the guy has an incredible amount of talent.
Yeah, he's going to be amazing once he hits puberty.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see. I'm going to see how he is over a real season. And when he's a marked guy and he's getting a lot of minutes, he doesn't have the body. So we'll see what happens.
On this team, it's a little different, too. I mean, you got a lot of other guys. Like, you have two all-stars in Butler and Adebayo, so the pressure isn't on him to begin with. And you have great shooters all over the place.
If he becomes the guy, if he becomes someone that they're completely dependent upon,
sure,
then it's completely different.
No, of course it is. But yeah, on this roster, he won't be the guy. The pressure won't be on him to be the guy. I guess that's what I'm saying.
And there's no place in that
your mind.
Well,
because is he going to be the guy or is he not going to be the guy? I mean, that's the conversation we're
having. All I'm saying is he's immensely talented and can do this, but the reason he can do this is there's no pressure on him to do this.
Well, that's okay, so we're making the same point. I'm saying that, yeah, if he becomes, you know, a marked man.
I'm not saying he's going to be Donovan Mitchell. What I am saying is he's talented and is blowing up in front of us here.
Yes, he's having a great series. No question.
And there's just no place on that court that he can't make a shot. Like, every spot on that court is something. I mean, he can do anything there. But that game, the end of it, was riddled with just, as you heard there, clutch Miami shots and awful Celtics turnovers. And that reality is the story of the game. As I was mentioning, the Celtics turned over the ball 19 times and only lost by 3. In contrast, Miami protected the hell out of the ball in the fourth and only turned the ball over 8 times total. And
Do they only have 2 fouls in the fourth?
I think so.
It wasn't many. Yeah, but, so they were really disciplined.
Yeah, so. And that's Spoelstra. I've been saying that. I mean, you know, Spoelstra doesn't get enough credit. He is an amazing coach. And I mean, really, the sum of the parts, you know, the total is better than the sum. Because you take a look at those players, and the fact that they're playing up to this level, A lot of it's discipline. It's the thing that Belichick gets credit for all the time. And you were talking about how, you know, Tom Brady goes down to Tampa. He's getting, you know, furious that these guys are jumping off sides and all that. I mean, that's what Miami is. They're a well-disciplined team that is able to win games, especially like last night's, just because they didn't foul, they didn't do anything stupid, and they didn't turn over the ball. And
that's what's going to piss me off about this whole thing. Is it the Celtics are better? Their talent is better than what Miami has.
But they're not as disciplined.
But I understand. And they're killing themselves. They've done it three straight. They could have swept this series. They were down 12. They were up one in the fourth quarter. They came all the way back. And then they started turning the ball over again. They started missing shots again. They had plenty of shots against that 2-3 zone. The very same zone they tore apart in game three, they struggled with in game four because A, they couldn't hang on to the basketball, or B, they decided to miss about seven corner threes that were wide open. They had more than their fair share of chances to beat this team and knock them out in four straight games. The argument can be made that the Celtics should be in the NBA Finals right now. That's what's going to piss me off about all of this.
Well, Jaylen Brown addressed the team's slow start last night.
I think we came out a little bit flat, and it wasn't enough. Needed a win tonight. We wanted to get a win tonight, but we didn't. Good thing is we got another chance, another opportunity to keep playing. I believe I fight until the end. That's a lot of our guys' minds are wired. So we just got to come out, take it one game at a time. And now get ready for game five. Get ready to fight.
Yep. And Jason Tatum was asked about why it took so long for him to play like himself in yesterday's game.
I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't score in the first half. That's unacceptable. So, you know, I know I had to play better. And that's what I tried to do.
Now, as you mentioned, Bam Adebayo, he seemed to injure his wrist yesterday. He had it on ice afterwards. I haven't heard anything about this being serious. As a matter of fact,
I can't find anything.
Yeah, I was looking too. The only thing I found was Adebayo telling the media he was fine. And again, anyone will say that after any game they play in. If they're a pro athlete, I'm fine, I'll be fine. Let's see what the hand or wrist looks like today. That's the thing. I mean, I forget who it was, which Celtic it was who sprained his ankle but was walking around afterwards. And, you know, injuries like that really show themselves after a night's rest.
Right.
And I think he wakes up this morning a little bit different than he went to bed. So we'll see how he is tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Tyler Herro was asked about his game last night. 37 points, man. Here's what he had to say.
I'm just going to bet on myself. I've been doing that, you know, my whole life. Went from you know, Milwaukee, a small town in Milwaukee, to Kentucky. Yeah. Nobody thought I would survive there, and nobody thought I would survive here. So at the end of the day, it's just betting on myself.
Yeah, yeah. You were a two-star recruit. Wound up in Kentucky. No one believed in you.
I know. What a drags-to-riches story.
I mean,
he grew up in a suburb of Milwaukee. I mean, might as well have been in Timbuktu. And then, yeah, you're right, a scrappy kid with that measly scholarship to Kentucky.
He was a walk-on. No one thought he could do anything. Yeah.
I mean, imagine that little program in Kentucky that he took to great heights.
He called John Calipari begging for a roster spot.
And Calipari, out of the kindness of his heart, said, kid, you can carry the water.
Yeah.
And then one practice, he just noticed him. 3 hours after practice, shooting free throws.
That's right.
And he said, kid, you can come in one game. I mean, give me a break. Shut up. And where'd you learn to talk like that?
I'm buckets, man. Didn't he say that at one point?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Oh, God, he's so good, and he's such a douche.
Yeah. He had a great game.
He's a good player. He's a very good player. For 20 years old, he's a great player for 20 years old. He's a really good player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And to do that on the biggest stage, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the guy other than the fact that he calls his watch his drip, which it just drives me crazy.
He had an out-of-body. He was a very good player playing well that had an out-of-body experience last night.
Yeah, you know, no one ever believed in me. That's why, you know, I was in those McDonald's All-American games.
That's why.
Yeah, Calipari really had to sift through a lot to get to me.
That's right. That's why I was able to commit to Kentucky about 18 months before going there.
Yeah. Yeah, once you go to Kentucky, I think the it's not a rags-to-riches story.
That's right.
Once you've played in the Kentucky program, I don't mean to speak out of school. They tend to put kids in the NBA.
I don't know. No one believed in me.
Okay. No one believed in me.
All right.
That's right.
He came out of his freshman year.
Yeah. First round pick.
Yeah, out of his freshman
year. Taking the lottery. No one believed in you.
You know, right. It was a long 3 months at Kentucky, I got to tell you. Really made, you know, I had to hit the books for 2 weeks at Kentucky.
At any moment, I just expect him to just come out and say something like,
there is some latte in him. That's a good call.
I wonder if you want to. I want to talk to both of his next door neighbors and hear how they speak, and juxtapose that against how he speaks, and then go exactly when did you start speaking like that?
One guy went to Harvard, the other guy went to Stanford.
Yeah, or just they're normal. Yeah, they're just suburban people.
Yeah,
latte for president.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in suburban Milwaukee. Then why are you talking like that? Like, what did you do? Did you just memorize movies?
I only saw the quote. Mike, can you find the clip of him saying that he calls himself Buckets?
Well, that's been referred to in articles. So, like, it's got to be a lot because I've read that more than one occasion.
Right. They call him Buckets.
Yeah.
Now, it's one thing if they call him Buckets, but if he calls himself Buckets, that's a little bit different.
Well, he refers to himself as Buckets, so... I would imagine if you go in and after you play a good game, people are going to call you what you want to be called.
You know,
no one ever believed in me. So I went to the program with the biggest history of producing NBA talent and left after 1 year. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
All right. There was something that happened in the NFL yesterday.
Why is no one so checking that kid up for talking like that, too? Like, doesn't he have any friends? All right, go ahead. It was what?
Something happened yesterday in the NFL that is so effed up that I still can't believe that. I guess I can believe it happened because now I've looked back in this guy's track record. But you just want to talk about, there's a reason that Tyrod Taylor was missing at the coin flip during that Chargers game.
Yeah, pain. All right, he's no Bergeron, I'll tell you that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, we'll be back in one moment.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriot season. Now, back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three Doors Down, baby. They became popular for some unknown reason.
This used to be Jason Veritek's walk-up song.
Oh, he's pretty cool.
That was just him saying, what's on the radio?
Yeah.
Like, I got no opinion about music.
I had sex with a stripper one night, and then she left, and I was like, ew, what did I do? And the next day, I had to broadcast from a Three Doors Down concert, and who was there?
Yeah.
But said stripper.
That was what you're going to say. And then I broadcast from a Three Doors Down concert. I said, what have I done with my life?
I know. A hell of a 24 hours you had there, Fred.
Well, I was outside of the concert, to be fair. I was broadcasting outside of it. I did not get to see the Down that night. What's funny is I probably saw them play, but I have no recollection of it. It's something that has gone in the back of my mind. All right, Rich, what else is going on?
All right, so the Patriots didn't have David Andrews practicing yesterday because of a hand injury. That's something, obviously, to keep an eye on. And then looking at the Sunday's game, the Raiders have placed Richie Incognito on injured reserve, meaning he's going to miss at least three games due to an Achilles injury that he suffered Monday night, which was a shock. I saw Richie Incognito on there. I'm like, dude's still playing?
Yeah.
And I knew that Gruden had gotten the guy because he was on Hard Knocks, but he is not going to be there right now. And yesterday,
Patriots line thanks their knees. They say, thank God. The defensive line says, oof.
We're safe.
We're safe. He's not going to tear our Achilles tonight.
Yep. Well, Rob Gronkowski, he hasn't been much of a factor while down in Tampa. And Bruce Arians, of course, a guy who does not hold back when he says what he thinks of certain players. He was asked about Rob and how he's been performing over the past couple of weeks, and here's what he had to say.
We haven't had that many red zone opportunities, and
I don't see him running 40 yards past people anymore. But if we get him press coverage, hopefully he can. But, you know, we brought him in to just play tight end. If that means no catches, that means no catches. I mean, 10 catches, I mean, 10 catches because he's open, and that's where the ball goes. But we just fortified a room that with a veteran player, like just like we did with A.Q. Shipley.
Just, I love how he keeps crapping on these guys.
I don't even know if that was crapping on him as much as it was the hey, Rob, don't press the expectations we have or not. You know, just if you want to be an average tight end, be an average tight end. I think that maybe that was his way of kind of massaging the situation, but who knows?
Don't you think by calling him an average tight end, that is crapping on him?
Did he say average?
No, I mean, that's what you were saying, is that you're saying, hey, be an average tight end. But I mean, saying that he's not running past people anymore, that's kind of, kind of a shot.
You know, if you're doing your job, if you're a solid lineman and you can catch a couple balls, we're good. Like, he's not putting a tremendous amount of pressure on
him. But, I mean, the thing about Gronk when he was here, and by the way, Gronk was doing this, 18 months ago, was that you could throw it into coverage, and he would go get it. Now, Arians is saying, well, if he's not open, we're not going to throw it to him, and maybe he can beat press coverage, but he can't run by anyone anymore. I mean, there are different ways to say these
things.
Or
maybe
he's,
lighting a little fire.
That's
saying that you can't run by anyone anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I think
that. You could be right, and I love Bruce Arians for that. I love that he's incapable of BS. And you know what? There's nothing that he said there that's not wrong. I mean, he's not going to be running past dudes. He's not going to be, the deep threat. Remember how at one point Rob Gronkowski was this team's deep threat?
Yeah.
And so he's not going to be that guy with Tom Brady down there.
You know what's amazing? Gronk's only 31. I mean, it's not like he's 35 or 6 and hanging on here.
Well, also, he had the back of a 90-year-old when he was 19. So.
Right. I mean, he's had multiple back surgeries. He had the 4 or 5 surgeries on his forearm with the metal plate in there.
He's been doing the Guerrero workouts, which have made him a shell of himself.
They're treating him like he's been in the league 15 years and he's on his last legs. He's only 31.
Hey, everyone go out and buy TB12 stuff.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be working like a charm. Ever since he started doing TB12, everything is, I guess he's lost his speed. He's lost his power.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, one of
lengthen them muscles.
That's right. Get them pliable, right? Get those muscles nice and pliable. But one of the weirder stories that happened this past Sunday was not until the coin flip did the Chargers know who was going to be starting under center. As a matter of fact, Tyrod Taylor was all set and ready to go, and then there was an announcement right before the game started that Justin Herbert would unexpectedly be starting. Now, the word that got around was that Tyrod Taylor was having chest problems and went to the hospital. It's kind of a scary thing for that to happen out of nowhere. Now, Justin Herbert did an excellent job. As a matter of fact, he almost beat the Chiefs. I think it was like a last-minute field goal that ended up winning thing.
They iced him.
Yep, yeah.
The queerest little kid, Justin Herbert.
I mean, it is pretty funny. I mean, he does look like, a dude working at, the state fair,
Oh, yeah. He looks like an acne-faced kid. I mean, that's what he is. He's still got acne.
Mm-hmm.
The queerest little kid.
But he did an excellent job, and it was kind of interesting that you had Anthony Lynn, who I like, but he got out there after the game and said, no, if Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's going to be our starter. Well, now we kind of understand what the situation was, and it is effed. So apparently, right before the game, a Los Angeles Chargers team doctor was going to give Tyrod Taylor a pain-killing injection to his cracked ribs, which apparently happened the week before. And instead of just giving the injection, he did it wrong and accidentally punctured Tyrod Taylor's lungs and rushed him to the hospital. Now, we know because of Patrice Bergeron that punctured lungs are no joke.
You got to play with him.
He played a game for the game with him.
You got to play with him.
I think
Tyrod Taylor, you got to play.
I think out of all the insane injuries I've heard of somebody playing with, I mean, there's guys who've been, who've gone out there, with broken bones. A punctured lung to me just sounds like it would be the most painful of all of them. As a matter of fact, that was Patrice's ribs actually punctured them, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Broken ribs, and they had sliced into his lungs.
And that's the other thing. Tyrod Taylor played with cracked ribs in week one and didn't tell anybody until the pain became just too much. Like, Doc, I need a shot. And that's how this happened.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a member of that team, if you're a member of the Chargers team, would you want that guy anywhere near you?
Fired. Gone.
You have to fire this guy on the spot.
Oh, yeah. If you can't administer a shot.
You can't administer. You puncture a guy's lung, you are done. You can't have this guy around players anymore.
Now, how about that needle, though?
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting in there.
What's the first thing you think of when you heard of that?
Pulp Fiction.
That's exactly what I thought of. The Pulp Fiction scene. That long-ass needle and how they got in there. And Anthony Lynn was, you know, talking about it, and here's what he had to say.
Like I told you Monday, there was complications with his shot. He would not be 100% this week, therefore he would not play. Justin Herbert was started quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing him play with a week of preparation, knowing that he's going to be the starter.
Yeah, so, and then after that... Anthony Lynn said, it just happens. Tyrod's not angry. He's not upset. What? That doesn't just happen.
No.
Like, I've to be honest, I'm maybe it's happened before. I've never heard of that happening, like, in an NFL game. And maybe it's happened to a lesser player that just doesn't get the press, and it's not as dramatic as a switch. But my God, if that is something that just happens, what are we doing? On top of that, they said that the doctors have advised Tyrod Taylor to not play indefinitely due to his punctured lung. The Chargers, they were hoping that Taylor would be able to start on Sunday. Here's what I do remember, though. I do remember about Patrice Bergeron. After that game, he went straight to the hospital, and didn't he not leave for a couple weeks?
Yes, that's right. It was at least a week. I don't know if it was two, but he, you know, they have those breakup press conferences. It took an extra week for Patrice to meet the media after that. Yes.
Yeah. So, and this is not obviously a career ending mistake or anything like that, but I mean,
should be for that doctor.
Oh, yeah. There's.
I mean, I'm not hiring him. If I'm a sports franchise, I'm not touching that guy.
Can you imagine if that's happening in 2020, what was going on in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
probably just North Dallas 40, but it was probably what you were thinking about,
Rich.
Those guys were probably so high when they were playing.
Oh, yeah.
That they wouldn't have known if they had two punctured lungs.
We had a player, oh gosh, I forget what player we were interviewing, but he described it as almost as if it was like a bowl of candy. When you came walking in, that was like painkillers, where at the time it was hardly even monitored to how much you were taking. It was like you just took it out of a bowl and you would pop it and you'd be all set and ready to go. Can you imagine that? It was like a big thing of Mike and Ike's. You just pop those things in your mouth and you're all set and hopped up.
On one of the Cocaine Cowboys or whatever documentaries about them bringing drugs into Miami, there was the Super Bowl Pittsburgh point in Miami where the night before they were at some drug kingpin's house, like doing mounds of blow. Then there's the great story about a guy who was in North Dallas 40, the big dude with the beard.
Matuzak.
And I've told the story on the air before, when Dr. Z was good friends with him and saw him out the night before the Super Bowl in New Orleans. In Matuzak, it was like 4 in the morning and he was wasted. And then the Raiders win the Super Bowl. And after the game, Dr. Z runs into Matuzak in the locker room and Matuzak goes up to him and goes, "Hey, when did you get in town?"
Yeah.
It's like we were hanging out last night for like 2 hours and you have no recollection.
Fun fact, John Matuzak, Sloth from the Goonies.
Well, he must be dead, I would imagine. But that just shows you how many drugs those guys were on, because if you could go out and get that wasted, wake up, then they probably shot you full of painkillers, then shot you full of adrenaline, and then just put you on the field. And then there you were. You were good as gold. All right, we'll be right back. We have a very upset Joe Murray with a lot of ideas about the Celtics, so it's going to be a two-pronged Bankroll Boys, because he sent an email not even having to do with the Bankroll Boys.
Yep.
Just having to deal with his thoughts on the Celtics. I'd like to hear them as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. This is a very morose promo right there.
There's nothing positive about it. Sounded more like a death march, didn't it?
The Celtics. I mean, it's a game. The Celtics are going into a war. Feeble, limping.
Flaccid,
right. Robbed of any fertility. It's like, all right, dude. They're playing Friday night. All right, Rich, quickly, and then we will get to the Bankroll Boys. What do you got?
All right. John, I saw this story that you actually had mentioned, and I had not heard this. So apparently the word is, and that's been out there for a while, is that Mike D'Antoni is more than likely going to end up being the new head coach of the 76ers, which is awesome, which means the regular season matchups between them and the Celtics are going to be great, and you never have to worry about the Sixers winning a championship. So
they'll always lose in the first or second round. It's great.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. The expectations will be through the roof once again, and everyone on that
fun
team
to watch.
Will...
Look how much fun it is. Everyone will watch them.
They'll
people
play
will go to
well
games.
The, yeah, they'll play in the very well in the regular season.
They'll score 130 points a game. It'll be great.
Each player will get max contracts because their personal numbers will go through the roof, and then they'll blow it. But you wrote something, or you had mentioned something, that apparently there's a rumor that if Mike D'Antoni is hired, that they're going to trade one of their bigs.
Yeah.
So I mean, are you talking about Joel Embiid? Because I thought he was the one guy in the team, because there's a lot of people who are saying that the chemistry between Embiid and Simmons is one that they might have to make a decision.
You got to choose. And our friend of the show, Keith Smith, the guy who originally floated the idea of the NBA playing in Disney World, which turned out to be the case. The NBA took his advice. He's the guy who said the buzz around the Sixers is they're telling teams if and when they hire D'Antoni as their new head coach, they're going to put their bigs on the block. He didn't specify which ones. They've been trying to get rid of Al Horford since they signed him. So I would imagine Horford be up for it. But if you're going to choose between Simmons and Embiid, who do you choose?
Well, D'Antoni is, you can tell he's a really good coach. I'm being sarcastic in that he'd want to change the personnel to fit his system instead of doing the latter.
Yeah,
which would be
adapt your coaching style to what they have.
Or that's the GM's fault. That's the GM going, all right, I'm not. That's not that D'Antoni's going in there going, all right, well,
no, D'Antoni
still
would
work
be,
for me.
No. D'Antoni would be going in and saying, if I'm going to take the job, I'm going to need you to structure this team in a certain way.
I want you to structure the roster like the way the Houston Rockets have.
Right, exactly.
That's what I'm looking for.
And so you get a Houston Rockets result.
Why do people?
No, it doesn't make sense. But
why do people keep hiring him?
The answer to your question was they'd get rid of Embiid. And so because Simmons can play in that system, and he might be special in that system because he's so big and he can move.
And he's a very good defensive player, and he shows up every game, unlike Embiid, who takes weeks off at a time. I agree. And you'll get a buttload for Embiid because when he's on, he's one of the best 15 or 20 players in the league.
And
you know what's weird?
The buttload gets you. So.
Well, before the season started, I was thinking that Embiid is so much more valuable to that team. But when you saw just as he just turned off for a large stretch,
he disappears.
Was unmotivated, and he didn't seem to be in shape. Yeah, I would say that if you had to get rid of one of them, you could still get a lot for Embiid. But I mean, he may not be the player that we all thought he was.
Not loved in Philadelphia. Not loved.
I remember that the Sixers came to TD Garden to play the Celtics. Embiid basically got himself thrown out of the game. He picked up two technical fouls and got himself ejected. He didn't care. He just showed up and didn't care.
He was out of shape in the playoffs,
too.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. We're joined by the Bankroll Boys, including a very sleep-deprived and fired-up Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.